piss. Keep it simple, stupid.
I'm gonna have to use my seductive voice this time. Welcome to Paranoid Radio Podcast. Oh yeah.
Testicles, one, two, testicles. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is your humble host, not your homo host. Look, for all those guys that keep talking shit about my thick accent, fuck you. How about that? Okay, I am the humble host of this amazing adventure, and I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be here today, and I want to thank every single one of you for allowing me to enter your space. Next year, check us out at ParanoidRadio.com. ParanoidRadio.com is amazingly active. Now you can stream for free, and you could also cough up some of those beautiful, beautiful Paranoid Radio podcast shirts. Check it out, guys. Look at this beautiful baseball jersey shirt. Looking fly as a motherfucking mosquito.
Yeah.
All right. do not forget to drop a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This allows other people to enjoy the show as much as I enjoy making it. This is the best podcast with the best show with the best content for the best listeners, you. Now, I had to bring back on a back-to-back episode the phenom, the person that has completely obliterated my algorithm for the past entire 8 days. We had her last on Vaccine One, and this is going to be a series. I don't care if she agrees or not. She's already agreeing to it with this other episode. She's back here today. She is a hostess of her own show, Deplorable Nation. Welcome back, Janet. How are you?
I am fabulous, and thank you for twisting my arm so hard you almost broke it to make me come back.
Yeah.
Was a little fib for your listeners, by the way.
Dude, okay, first of all, where can the people find you? I need to say something out loud. I need to get it out of my chest.
You can find Deplorable Nation at every podcast platform. You can find Deplorable Nation podcast on Rumble. And you can find me personally if you wish to stalk me. Yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Deplorable Janet, on Twitter at No Janet, KNOW, or you can stalk me at Janet Fox on Facebook.
Yeah, I gotta add you on Facebook. Matt, shout outs to Heidi from the Unfiltered Rise podcast, and she's gonna be with us tomorrow at 6 p.m. Dropping Mormon 4. Everybody loves that content. And Matt, shout outs also to my co-host Big Tank. He wasn't able to make it again, but Matt, shout outs to Los Cuñados Bullies and my co-host, the best co-host on the motherfucking planet, Big Tank. Salute. Now check this out. Okay, so you were here and you spoke to me about the varicella vaccine, and you look, I had emails and I had people in the DMs and I had people commenting on our little trailers because I was building up to the episode, right? And I dropped a couple trailers on Monday, Tuesday on Paranoid Radio on Instagram, and people were actually commenting saying, yo, my kid went through this. They sent me DMs. They're like, yo, my kid went through it. Like, dude, my kid had chickenpox twice and he almost died. He's 33 now and this and that. So I was like, yo, like, what the fuck did we just awaken here? So I had to have you back on. Plus, I didn't have any other fucking plans on any other episodes, so you kind of saved you.
Well, I'm glad that I could be here in your presence again.
Yeah, so there you go.
Oh, and as far as the chicken pox goes, my daughter had it 4 times.
Whoa. How old's your daughter now? If you don't mind me asking.
She is 25.
Wow.
Yep. I'm old.
That is absolutely crazy. Let's see. So we're going to do a little bit of package inserts. I want you to give me more. Last time we had a close out and you were diving in deep about the Willowbrook School and how they were doing the testing and they were doing some, not HIV, I think it was hepatitis B. They were feeding the kids with feces and the kids were all mostly Latinos and minorities, I want to say. And they were all getting experimented on. Yep. Now, you also mentioned that your own child had vaccination injuries off the varicella vaccine. And you said that the pamphlets were bullshit, your exact words. Would you pick up on that again and give me more details on that?
Okay. So let me clarify. It was she was a vaccine injured from the HPV vaccine. Mm. That is the one that they give to children to, quote, end quote, prevent cervical cancer, right?
Uh-huh.
So when you take your child to the doctor is required, if they're a vaccine provider, to give you what's called a vaccine information statement. It is very basic. It has very little information on it. And generally, every one of them says the only thing your child may experience is a slight fever, redness at the injection site, and possibly some swelling at the injection site.
Uh-huh.
That is so basic.
Okay.
That does not tell you anything at all. And so what they're required to give you by law is very different than what a package insert is that comes with said vaccination or XYZ medication, whatever it is. Those inserts are completely different. They tell you the chemical makeup of it. You know, if there's any kind of properties where it could catch fire, things like that. And every single content in the vaccination, like if it is a live vaccine, if it is a dead vaccination, and whole host of has to be kept at certain temperatures. It has to be kept in the dark or in a freezer or, you know, whatever. But it also has every side effect possible.
In the fine
on
print,
the
right?
Insert.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a, before we dive deeper into that, as during your time as a nurse and handler of stuff, right?
Right.
Were you ever told not to speak about this, or were you allowed to speak about certain things? Because I have some friends, and the reason I'm asking is because I have a couple of close friends that have, in California at least, people that are pharmacists, and they, you know, they also handle these medicines, and they give them out to people like freaking cookies, right? For example, Ozempic, one of the biggest things that are hitting pandemics, right?
Right.
So. And when you mentioned that you have to keep it, I'm pre-diabetic and I'm supposed to take Ozempic almost every month on the same day of every single week, right? I get a dosage for once a week, and I like taking it because I lose too much weight and I can't really balance it off. I like to, you know, restrain myself. However, I do know that you have to keep it at a certain temperature, and it now it becomes, and there's a callback for that specific medicine now. Were you ever like told to shut up, basically?
Not in so many words per se, but here's the thing. I was the administrator in our facility. I worked in a teaching facility, and I was the administrator for the Vaccines for Children program. Mm-hmm. That program is specifically targeted at either people who are on state-funded insurance or who are underinsured or no insurance. And so, you know, not only did we have specific ways that we had to do things per our facility, but when you agree to do these, you know, vaccinations or medications or whatever, you have to follow the manufacturer's guidelines at all times. And so I would be responsible for reading the information, especially if it's a new vaccine that came out, new medication that came out, something like that, because I was a clinical director, and our doctor, honest to God, didn't have time to sit down and read it, nor would he sit down and read every package insert from every thing that came into our office, medical devices included, because they're too busy. Now, I will tell you, he appreciated the fact that I was very vocal about stuff, but also backhanded on that. He was like, you might want to not tell patients X, Y, and Z. But here's the thing about me. As a nurse, you take an oath. Same thing if you're a doctor, you take an oath. My oath was to do no harm to a patient and to always be a patient advocate. It's my job to tell a patient. And so if you have a nurse out there working in a facility that refuses honesty for patients, that's a problem. That's a huge problem because you're in breach of your oath. You're in breach of your license.
Wow.
I'm not that kind of person. I am not a shut up and be quiet person.
I'm pretty sure you have those scenarios too where they were getting the old kickbacks here and there. So the way it works, I work at this wholesale distribution center for electricians and contractors and people that read the blueprints and stuff, right? For the trade. And what we do is sometimes we have people that sell, for example, light fixtures, expensive light fixtures. And they tell us if you sell only us, we have, you know, we'll give you a quota and we'll give you a rebates at the end of the year and we'll take you out for a golfing trip. And they call it a golfing trip where they bring prostitutes and shit, right? And they'll probably give you a fucking kickback out of that for all the outside sales reps, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing. Right. Synergy.
Same thing. Yeah. Mm. Wow. Absolutely same thing. And one of the biggest kickback buy off kind of companies in the business is the one that may start with the fun in an er.
Advisor?
Yeah, be the one. And it's funny because they were like, oh, no, we can't. The kickbacks, that's not a thing. It's not, we can't do that. Hey, doc, do you want to go to Canada and go hunting? All expense paid trip. We'll buy.
Yeah.
What do you think happens literally every time a drug rep walks into the office, brings everybody Starbucks, pays for lunch?
We have that happening all the time. I hear you.
That is, and here's my favorite. I love when this happens. Diabetes drug reps who come in to sell us on their product, and what do they bring? Bags full of candy. Bags and bags full of candy. Or, the, you know, Starbucks sugary stuff. And I'm like, okay, so, are you trying to make everybody in the office a diabetic to get your medication across? And see, that's another thing is even with the insulins, they have to be kept at a certain temperature. They have to be stored properly and, you know, whatever. You have to constantly check expiration dates on stuff because, you know, even if they leave samples of medications for us, whether it's insulin or whether it's medications of some kind or whatever, you have to constantly check that stock. And check that out. And same thing with vaccinations. They have an expiration date on them and you have to keep a temperature log. And if that temperature log is off, if the temperature drops, the stuff is no good. You have to actually enter that into a system and destroy that medication. How many times do you think there are staff in a facility who don't do that?
Almost all the time, right?
Exactly.
So they're selling things to you that are already passed.
Well, they're injecting your babies with stuff that fell below temperature, you know, or wasn't stored properly, wasn't put in the refrigerator, or it was put in the door of the refrigerator instead of the internal portion of the refrigerator, which affects the temperature and the storage and the safe handling process. And people are too lazy to do their jobs.
I'm going to interject here and I'm going to get a little pissed off because I have a couple followers, a couple listeners. Today, I was actually having this conversation and they said, some of your episodes are a little too long and a little too fucking boring. It's because, quite honestly, your attention span. And I'm gonna tie all this whole thing into this pharmaceutical jump conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think that it's well, first of all, you don't have to listen to the show. There's other shows out there that can may be able to fucking feed your
attention span. Information.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Your spirits lift your spirits.
Your but 5 minute attention span.
Thank you. And sometimes, and quite frankly, the truth. A lot of the truth always seems to sting people. And it's not easy to digest, specifically when you don't have the capacity to understand that you're hurting other people or at least allowing kids to be hurt.
Correct.
And it's not until the fucking war and the issues at your doorstep, or it's your own fucking kid that's actually suffering through these issues. Mm-hmm. It's only until then that you actually find out the fucking pain that we go through as parents. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not bashing on anybody that doesn't have kids. I'm bashing on those motherfuckers that think that they could speak in behalf of other people's kids. That's the people I'm trying to speak on. Right. Quite frankly, if you paid a little bit more attention and actually try to make a difference on a daily basis, now you don't have to be a professional. Maybe you could just share the shit out of this fucking show and tell mm-hmm. other people what the fuck is really happening, what the media will not cover, and how everybody's synergizing to cause harm on other people in the name of money, right?
Right.
Maybe that would cause a difference. Now, the reason I brought this whole thing is because you mentioned how you think you're giving your kids a dose of vaccines that are going to help them in the future, and that's going to be handled by professionals. But in reality, it's a bunch of baby back bullshit, and they are sometimes giving your kids shit that's expired, bro. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and here's a piece of information for your listeners. We were talking about, you know, package inserts, and sometimes people don't know how to get their hands on that. Mm. So I'm going to speak on two different things. Mm. There is an account on Instagram. It is called Just the Inserts. It is that account literally has the inserts from everything you could possibly think of. You can look at the inserts. You can research for yourself. If you're too lazy to Google, like you said, you were on Ozempic, you can actually look up package insert for Ozempic. You have a computer or a smartphone or a tablet. You can type that in, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has access to those, but let me shed some light on something people don't know about in regards to vaccinations. Mm. You can find this on cdc.gov. Mm. You're going to get a little search box that comes up and at the top right-hand corner, type in vaccine excipient summary. You'll have a list of options that will pop up, and it will say vaccine excipient summary pink book. Click on that link and you will find the extra added ingredients for every single vaccine in the United States that is on a schedule or that has been approved. Now, I will tell you that COVID is not on there yet because COVID was under the emergency use authorization. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it has not had actual final approval to be on this list.
Mm-hmm.
You can search by, it's in alphabetical order, so you can search hepatitis B and like every hepatitis B vaccine available, the manufacturer, and what is in every single one of those for extra ingredients. Mm. You will find heavy metals. You will find detergents. You will find animal parts, baby parts, dog cells, cow cells, pig cells, monkey cells, baby DNA, you know, harsh chemicals, cleaning solutions, toxic ingredients, polysorbate 80, which is in literally almost everything that has never, ever been tested in a human. But if you research polysorbate 80, because it is in cosmetics, skincare, shampoo, soap, lotion, et cetera, et cetera.
Deodorant.
Mm. Everything that we use. You will see its toxicity in the testing that they have done and what the United States does and how they skirt allowing a lot of these things into products that we consume. It's called GRAS, G-R-A-S, and it's generally recognized as safe, which means...
By who is general?
They haven't tested it on humans, or they tested it on one human and, well, nothing happened, were the testing was only on animals, but animals that are not
primates.
Similar in DNA makeup to humans, or no testing whatsoever. But somebody said it was safe, and so hence how it passes through regulation after regulation and gets put into literally everything that we use.
Have you noticed how much we have to be careful with? They've made it almost the idea, the option of being safe,
right,
and having herbal medicine, holistic medicine, non-chemical based medicine, has been almost being obsolete, almost annexed out of our culture, life, right. Everything that we consume. I myself, I'm drinking water out of a water bottle, and I've said this countless times on the show. It's illegal in California to collect rainwater. Why? Because they want you to drink their water, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's just everything you're consuming. You brush your teeth with fluoride, bro. You see what I'm saying? And the toothbrushes are made out of rubber and everything. We live in the petroleum era still to this day. It is absolutely horrific. And I don't want to be a black pill person here. I'm mostly the white pill. I'm mostly the guy that believes that if there's a sect of people in the world that lives to destroy the world, I also believe there's a special group of people that is countering that.
Right.
So, you know, I obviously think that, dude, everything you consume and drink, the paint is lead-based. Like, how many people, even the, you know, I just had the city come and remove about 6 months ago, remove all the soil of my house. And they replaced it with rocks because there was a chemical spill in the air that we weren't notified about. So now there's a massive lawsuit that we're all getting involved in. It's freaking huge, bro. It's huge. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, and thank you to the Rockefeller family and the Carnegie Foundation, because they are the ones who did away with holistic practitioners. Back in the early 1900s, they commissioned a study from Alex Flexner. He did the Flexner Report. He presented in front of Congress. They shut down holistic schools. They imprisoned holistic practitioners, the whole nine yards. And so that has been going on since the early 1900s. And then, you know, Carnegie was a big oil man and stuff like that. Hence, enter the petroleum products and the byproducts of manufacturing, which were then put into our pharmaceutical system.
Yeah.
Right. And that is what Western medicine is based on, is the, you know, allopathic medicine is based on Flexner's report, Rockefeller institutions. And so they don't teach anything other than pharmacy, 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 pharmacy. They don't go over diet. They don't go over proper nutrition. That is literally not part of curriculum anymore. Now, I will say, thankfully, there has been a resurgence of holistic practitioners. Which I'm very grateful for, because you don't have to follow government regulations if you do not take government assistance. So if you do not sign up to take state funded like insurance, or you don't get grants or things like that from the government to run your facility, you do not have to abide by those regulations. You're a private practitioner. You don't accept insurance. You don't accept bribe money, basically. That's why, like, I say that because during the pandemic, right? It made no sense why so many, like, hospitals, doctors, pharmacists were following the bullshit. It's because they take government money. They have to do what the government says because they're taking funding from the government. That's why all of your, you know, hospitals and all of that stuff, that's why they do it.
I can only imagine how this insurance situation works also. So, for example, Check this out. This happened to me. Another fucking testimony. Wow. Excuse me. About 3 years ago, I was feeling all the side effects. I went to the clinic. Again, I had insurance through my employer, right? They sent me to a clinic that was within their network. They found some abnormalities on my test tubes, right? They told me, you need to go to a specialist. Then they said I had arthritis, so they need the special doctor needed to see my bones and my skin. All right, let's go. So by the time I got the authorization, it was too late. I was passing over to a new insurance company. Mm-hmm. So the new insurance company picked up, and by the time I got the authorization, it was too late. So I couldn't see my specialist. So I had to restart. So I started all over. At this time, they didn't only find that I had arthritis, but I was also pre-diabetic. And then they started the whole process all over again. Had to wait another 3 months to get another appointment, et cetera, et cetera. But the doctors, the specialists that they send you to, the people that are going to give you the little pharmaceutical note to go get that Ozempic, for example, are bought by the insurance because they're within the network, and then their network is also getting paid in kickbacks by Ozempic. So this is a full vicious fucking circle.
Yes.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And you know the funny thing, you mentioned pre-diabetic. That irks my nerves to the point where it makes me just cringe, because people don't realize that they change guidelines on what your normal numbers are. Back in the day, 7 and above was diabetic. There was no pre-diabetic. Oh, we think you're going to get diabetes. Now everyone is pre-diabetic because they moved it down, and it's like anything close to 6.2, you're diabetic. Or anything close to 6 now, you're diabetic or you're pre-diabetic.
They made more victims. They made more consumers.
Yes. They have done that with blood pressure. They have done that with blood sugar. They have done that with cholesterol numbers. And that's a whole nother show, because diabetes and cholesterol are absolutely not what they have told you that they are. That's a whole nother show, because that's going to be a long show. They have done that consistently to change the normal range for patients. Blood tests, lab normals are different now than what they used to be. And that is how they get more patients looped into this, you know, sick, well cycle. That's like a never ending spinning wheel where you constantly have to stay in the system and you constantly have to take these meds that cause these side effects. So let's add another med to counteract the side effects from this other one. And that's the thing that they keep doing and keep doing and keep doing.
I have a question to moving forward away from medicine. Mm-hmm. You said that you were an assistant for an autopsy.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I love that. Okay. This is before I became a nurse. I was still going to school the whole 9 years.
And so you're talking about like dead people bodies, and you get to see, examine how they die.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
Loved it. Juicy right here. My husband and I had a conversation about this today because he's like, you just like gross things. I do. I love gross things.
Every woman does. You guys are gory.
The grosser, the better. Even like as a nurse, like the more disgusting this stuff was that came in, I wanted to do it because it's like, cool. That makes me sound like a serial killer or something. I promise I'm not. But I was working at this hospital. I had been there for years. And I'm like, what? I can help with autopsies? Oh, sign me up. Yes, I want to do that. And so you go into the morgue, right? And then, of course, like they train classes at a time, and you'll stand against the wall or wherever and you know, watch them perform one so you know like what you're doing. Coolest thing in the world to me, because you get to actually cut the patient open, take their brain out, take their organs out, weigh them all, you know, section them, which means basically slicing sections of the organs or whatever to look for blood clots or, you know, cancer tissue.
There's a science to this.
Or anything like that. Yes.
Okay.
And so, you know, and they're done in a very specific manner, in a very like organized way. And so, like, getting to look at every organ in the body, look at the brain, the whole nine yards, and weighing them to see if they're, you know, underweight or if they're in line with what they're supposed to be. Because, like, think about patients who've been told they have an enlarged heart. And it's hard for people to fathom that until they see one, because, like, a heart, a human heart is like around the size of your fist.
Yeah.
And then if you get somebody
that ring is the size of my fist. That freaking ring.
I waited a very long time for that because I did not have one when we first got married. And so it took 12, 15 years to get one. So but it's like if you see a patient that had like an enlarged heart or whatever, when you go to do the autopsy, it puts everything in perspective and you're like, holy cow, like no wonder this person had problems because, you know, going from like my hands are small, right? But going from like the size of my hand to like over the size of a softball, you know, like twice the size of a softball or whatever, yeah. You know, seeing all these... seeing all these abnormalities and stuff like that. You even like try to stay away from people's bowels because that's a whole nother thing. If you like nick that when you're, you know, taking organs out and something, we had a doctor do that once. And you will never forget the smell because the gases in the intestines, it's almost like they fester.
Yeah, they marinated there.
They marinate, and then
you are one sick lady.
Yeah, so it's one of those things which nobody told me at first because I guess it's a joke and kind of like an initiation. But you should always carry Vicks with you, and this is even a tip for anybody in healthcare, or anybody that has a gross job, even garbage men. This would apply. Carry a little thing of Vicks. And put it right under your nose. And then you don't smell like the bodily fluids or the garbage or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, little tip for that. People.
Yeah, good tip for those serial killers out there that haven't come out yet. But you know what?
Again, I'm not a serial killer. I just think that stuff is cool.
You know what? True crime really sells. We do true crime on this show, too. We did. I
love true crime stuff.
We did Albert Fish. Oh my God. You know who he is, right? Fishhead?
Yes. I love the
lunatic. Oh my God.
One of my favorite things and has been like for eons is like they used to have a show called Trauma Life in the ER. And I started watching that. And then I got into like Forensic Files, Another 48 Hours, you know, any kind of like true crime documentaries. I didn't watch Dexter as much because that's when I was working like 80 hours a week. But
okay,
you know,
season
like,
one is okay.
Any kind of like crime documentaries or stuff like that, I love that kind of stuff.
You know, it's
fascinating to me.
Now that I know that you've have a professional background in autopsies, I want to break this in to get a little conspiratorial with you. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that word right. The way that Jeffrey Epstein died, okay, allegedly he suicided himself, and so his neck was broken, and he choked himself, right? What's your take on that? Have you seen the remains of the body?
I would say no, he did not do that because the hyoid bone was broken. You only see that when it is a choke or crush injury to the throat. You don't see that from, you know, like a hanging.
What about the knot? Stuff like what that. If the knot was created let's say he was a perfect knot guy. He knew how to do knots, you know.
The height from the bunk to the floor was not high enough to cause that trauma and that impact. Now, I will tell you, and he's an interesting character, and you should do a show on this particular doctor. Dr. Michael Bodden was the one who did the forensic autopsy on Jeffrey Epstein. Dr. Michael Bodden has also been involved in lots of other questionable autopsies.
Whoa, wait, hold the fuck up. Wait, here's the fucking trailer. Go back, scratch my fucking face. Wait, I was going to say something else. Anyway.
I thought you were going to say your butt.
No,
you may have worms. I'm just saying.
No, I was about to say scratch my nutsack, but whatever. Anyway, look, check this out. I'm sorry. Okay, check this out. You said Dr. Buttony?
Bodden. Dr. Michael Bodden, Baden.
JFK's?
He has done that and lots of other very questionable.
Which one else?
You have to look him up.
What? Get out! Vaccination 3 coming next week. I am not stopping.
But yeah, if you look him up, because first I looked up to him because, you know, I did autopsy stuff and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I would totally do forensic autopsies because I think that's cool as shit, right? I just did normal, boring stuff. Like I wasn't looking for forensic work, stuff. Yeah.
Right?
But first I looked up to him and then I was like, wait, what? What he's saying makes zero sense. Like, it's zero sense. May or may not have also been involved with the death of a colored man that was real big.
Get the fuck out. George Floyd, dude? No freaking way, dog. There's no coincidences in life, bro. There's only cause and effect.
Think of it in this aspect, okay? Like, we were talking about the payoffs from the insurance company and the drug companies, right? And the kickbacks that they get. Think about government agencies having somebody on their payroll to take care of problems. This is going to go into a whole nother direction.
Yeah, like P. Diddy's.
Not purposeful, but
yeah.
There is a cult society / lodge whose members specialize in cleanups. That would be the Moose, the Royal Order of Moose.
What? Wait. The Moose, like moose for your hair?
No, the Moose, like the Moose Lodge. Ever heard of a Moose Lodge?
What is
this?
Where's my freaking laptop?
Royal Order of the Moose or whatever. It is, they are usually ex-military. Things of that nature, and their group was founded. Basically, their specialization is cleanups of like crime scenes and et cetera.
Yeah. And they work on cohesive with everybody else that has to do the paperwork and then present it to the public. Yeah. It's fucking. And then the public, obviously, you know, the fucking all the reporters except the Paranoid Radio Podcast and Deplorable Nation were always bringing you the truth.
That's true.
You know that these people are also bought and they work with the synergy. Like, right. For example, have you ever seen Anchorman with Will Ferrell?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about, yeah, you can't talk about the airplane falling parts from the sky because the owner of the airline also owns the media, et cetera, et cetera. Right. Same thing. Yeah.
Well, and that's the problem that we have in literally every system in society, right? So healthcare is not exempt from that. In the healthcare industry, it has the revolving door between Big Pharma and the United States government, right? And so of, let's say, the last 47 directors of the FDA or the CDC, like 39 of them went on to be executives for big pharma corporations or people in our government who are in the approval department for medications, medical devices, et cetera, et cetera. Those people also have a very high incidence rate of going to work for big pharma. And how so many, that is also like a payoff system, right? Uh-huh. We will, XYZ pharmacy company will reward you if you rubber stamp this drug and put it through. If you have never watched Painkiller or...
Painkiller is the one on Netflix, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's two of them. There's Painkiller and there's something else and I can't remember what it was called.
For cancer patients, something like that?
It was all about the opioid crisis, right? And the specific pharmaceutical company, and it touched on, you know, what they had to do with the guy that was trying to stop them from getting the drug approved. What they had to do to win him over was to give him a job in their corporation. And then the people that work for the government in the approval jobs go to work for Big Pharma in their approval department because they know exactly what wording needs to be in or needs to not be in any kind of paperwork submitted.
They already have their code and they know exactly who's going to be able to pass. They have set the person 100%. Up in a specific spot to be able to pass on through the paperwork, get it stamped without anybody else looking at it. And overnight, you guys are already ingesting poison and killing your children.
Yep.
Wow.
And they do this. And, you know, even before, like, the emergency use authorization was authorized for the scam, right? The FDA was having meetings. They had doctors involved. They had, you know, board members involved, the whole nine yards. And they're literally going through system by system, like neurological concerns, cardiac concerns, like the whole nine yards. They're going through all of this going, yes, you know, that's possible or whatever. Okay, let's go ahead and approve it. Were you on the same call that I was just listening to? Because, I would have said no. And I've had that before when I was working in that capacity as like the administrator for the vaccine program. We would have medications or vaccinations or whatever that would come in.
Mm.
The paperwork would come in. I'd have to read it and the doctor would be like, yes or no. And like several of the things that would come in, I'd be like, no, absolutely not. And he'd be like, I trust your judgment. Okay, we'll pass on this one. And one of those things was the flu vaccine that they did, the nasal spray.
Yeah.
That they give the military. And reading the information, I was like, oh, hell to the no. No, no, no. Don't want to be involved with this. And this is way before like I woke up to everything.
Uh-huh.
And just reading that, I told him, I'm like, I am so...
So you were able to challenge the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Without really getting in trouble to a certain degree, but because he trusted you, you had a relationship.
I worked there for a very long time and it was like, I was kind of like his right hand, in a lot of situations and even like reading reports for him or looking at x-rays or CT scans or whatever, because I had done it so much. It was like second nature to me.
I would also, I don't want to bash on every single doctor that works out there, right? Because some people just, they really do love the science of the body and health and medicine. Mm-hmm. And some people do it because they're really in need of money, or some people don't know anything else but medicine,
bingo.
Right?
Bingo, you know, so for a lot
of
people.
They're also victims of this entire chain of unfortunate events.
But here's the thing. Being willfully ignorant is not an excuse in my book for any healthcare practitioner. You choose to see the information and ignore it or stay ignorant because you want your paycheck. You don't want to fight, okay? But you are going against your oath.
And
you are going against your oath to take care of that patient. And when you do things like that, it is literally nothing but dishonesty. Now, if you don't know, like I did not know, I was so indoctrinated in school, whatever. Wasn't until my daughter got vaccine injured and I'm like, I just literally started like reading everything. And I'm like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
But I'm the type of person too that has always been... Even though I was indoctrinated on vaccinations, I have always thought outside the box, because somebody would come in with, you know, pain in their shoulders or whatever. And I'm like, okay, have you tried massage? Have you thought about trigger point therapy? You know, all these other suggestions. If I had time, I would give a patient a massage, you know, like... Always talking to them about different things, or like their diet, what are you eating, stuff like that. And so really the only thing that I was
really troubleshooting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that I can honestly say I was ever very indoctrinated and ignorant on was vaccinations from the get-go. And now I'm like, I have like a library of knowledge. I'm like, okay, here, look.
And with that library of knowledge, We give all our listeners a little bit more of information so you guys could take on and pass on to your friends, to your family members, to those newborn parents. Make sure you check out Deplorable Nation, Janet Deplorable on Instagram. Let them know one more time where they can find you. You came and destroyed the entire fucking podcasting game. And for other people to just know, I'm just saying this right now, bro. I can't get enough of this shit, bro. I am hooked. And then I'm having Mormon Girl tomorrow. Oh my God. This is, it's going to be an amazing
Mormon
episode.
Girl. Mormon Girl is my best friend in this world. So I love her dearly.
Yeah.
I'm super happy she hooked us up. Again, if you want to stalk me, you can find me on Instagram at Deplorable Janet. You can find me on Twitter at No Janet, KNOW. You can find me on Facebook at Janet Fox. You can find Deplorable Nation on every podcast platform, or Deplorable Nation Podcast on Rumble.
That is right. And I am updating paranoidradio.com, so you could also find her on the drop down menu for tonight's show. And down in the description of the show, make sure you check out. And you told me you were going to give me the link to only inserts on Instagram.
Yeah,
I'm gonna add that on the description.
Yep, it's called just the inserts.com, or on Instagram, just the inserts.
Just the inserts page on Instagram. Make sure you check them out. And thank you so much, Deplorable Nation, back in the house with Vaccine 2 back to back. Amazing, challenging reality, one episode at a time. I want to thank every single one of you for staying this long. And drop a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts that allows other people to enjoy the show as much as I enjoy making it. And make sure you check us out at paranoidradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. And Janet, thank you for showing some more love.
Thank you for having me.
Paranoid Radio.